Bet you our guest here on Cougar Sports ESPN 960. Our next guest in the 5 o'clock hour will know who the Bayside Tigers are. His name's Matt Brown from SB Nation. Matt, impress me right now.
I got some bad news for you. I've fractured my jaw. I'm just punching myself in the face right now because I don't know who the Bayside Tigers are.
You don't know who the Bayside Tigers are? How old are you?
I'm 28.
You're 28 and you don't know? You
28 should be,
you should know.
I mean, he's on the cusp, I'll be honest. Like, I mean, because a little bit older. I mean, look, 28, I give him a pass.
I just got a quick question for you. When you got back from school, like grade school, when you were going to grade school and even junior high, what did you do when you got home?
What did I do when I got home?
Yeah, and I'll tell you how you should know.
I didn't watch a whole lot of TV when I was little.
So here's what I did. I watched.
Mind you, he was in Helper, Utah.
I watched four straight episodes of Saved by the Bell for like 10 years.
So I have a funny story about this. So before I got married, I let it slip to somebody that I had never seen an episode of Saved by the Bell.
Oh my goodness!
Was so flabbergasted that
he's a witch. Burn him!
I know. But listen. I now own every single episode because somebody gave me like the entire like discography. So I have like this 22 DVD like binder.
Matt, you and I now have something in common because I do too.
Yeah.
Look, I have a phenomenal idea. I've brought it up before on the airwaves, but somebody needs to create an external battery pack case of the Zach Morris phone, right? The original block phone, but you can kind of put your iPhone in there. And look, that conversational piece at any party. Look, everyone knows, besides Matt Brown, apparently, who the Bayside Tigers are. Tigers are. You know, Zach's like. What are you, 18 years old?
You're an infant. Zach's an infant.
Zach's 18 years old. Of course he doesn't know who the Bayside Tigers are. But, I mean, it is, I think, the Saved by the Bell series, it's somewhat transcendent, right? I mean, it leaks across into different generations.
That has cultural relevance. I mean, Harbaugh was on an episode. And so,
he was.
There you go.
We had an entire like off-season story about screen capping the Harbaugh episode. I should have known. Now that you're talking about Saved by the Bell, I'm visualizing the logo and I've heard of it now.
Matt, I wanted to bring you on today to talk about a number of different things. I was not expecting to talk about Saved by the Bell I can talk about Kelly Kapowski any day of the week, but we won't talk about Kelly Kapowski. We got to move on, Jim.
I've got a Kelly Kapowski t-shirt also, though.
Oh, that's great. No, we're going to move on because, I mean, I love talking about Kelly, but we can't do that right now. You wrote an article yesterday when the news broke that the Utah State Athletic Department was going to provide cost of attendance, right, a certain amount of sum for their student-athletes. And in order to get that money, they are going to tax the local populace here in the state of Utah a certain fee so that they can stay competitive. Tell us more about this. Enlighten us on what is occurring up there in Logan.
Sure. So we'll start at the beginning here. Last year, changes in NCAA rules allowed universities to pay what's called the cost of attendance to student athletes. So right now, if you're a student athlete, you might have your room and your board taken care of and your tuition. But if you got like laundry or incidental expenses and you need to travel home, you can't pay for those. And you don't have a lot of money and you're not really working during that time. That could be a real financial burden. So now universities have this option to be able to give a little bit of extra money. And just about everybody at the FBS level has said that they're going to do that. Technically, how much money that's supposed to be is set by a federal formula. But practically speaking, like literally everybody is making this up as they go along. So Utah State says they're going to pay about $4,000, which is near the top. And it's difficult for me to, I haven't been to Logan in a while, but like that's not the most expensive city in the world, and Utah State's tuition is not that much. So it's hard for me to like wrap my head around that, like the cost of attendance there being more than say like Northwestern or Stanford. But there we are, and that's fine. And so the school's worried about how they're going to pay for it. Utah State says they're not really washing money. That seems believable. But the state senator who represents Logan and on the Utah State Budget Committee is apparently a huge Utah State fan. He's a grad. And along with him and former Utah State Athletic Director Scott Barnes, were able to work something up so Utah taxpayers would foot that bill in the name of providing economic stimulus to the town. And that didn't quite add up, and that's what attracted our attention on the East Coast, and that's why we did some research and wrote the article.
And what was the reaction from Utah State fans, BYU fans, Utah fans in general?
So, I mean, I'll be honest with you, right? Like, I'm from Ohio. I live in Maryland. Like, I always have a strong opinion about Utah State one way or the other. I think the feedback nationally that we got was, okay, wow, I had no idea that this is happening. Of course, that's a terrible idea. There's no way that providing cost of attendance, one, is going to really make Utah State much more competitive since everyone else is doing it and they're not getting recruits anyway. And two, that there's super no way that's going to provide like an actual tangible, you know, economic stimulus to the town. And Utah State fans who checked my mentions on Twitter over the past 48 hours are super not happy with me. This has been a fun learning experience to get acquainted with a fan base that I didn't really know very well, but apparently knows some more swear words than I do. So that's fun.
You just need to go to a basketball game up there, and you'll find out. They've got a very vast vocabulary.
That's what the other people around the office were telling me. Like, I thought I knew all the swear words. You know, I'm not Mr. Fetch over here, right? But no, it's my brother in here, and Logan have taught me a few others. So that's great.
It's
really culturally enriching experience.
It's true that the only time I was ever hit with a foreign object as a football player on the field was at Utah State. Was at a Utah State game. True story.
Okay, what was the foreign object?
What did they throw at you?
It was a half-full Sprite or Coke bottle.
Sure it was.
Had my helmet on, though, which was – I was lucky because my helmet was on. If it was off, it could have been bad news. But
at least it was full of Sprite and not like another bodily fluid.
That's true.
He thought it was Sprite.
Exactly.
It was not Sprite.
Maybe it wasn't.
he thinks it was Sprite. That's how naive we are as BYU football players. Oh, I think this is a bottle of Sprite that just was thrown at me.
It must be old.
That's a vodka, I think.
I'm really thirsty. I should drink it. Oh, I've made a big mistake.
Oh, yes. But do you worry, and I guess this isn't necessarily a Utah State question or a Utah question, because this is – I was flabbergasted when I heard this. I was literally floored that this actually happened. But do these colleges or college football teams, do they not worry about just the public getting up in arms about this? Because you start looking and you look at the fact that in any state, the highest paid employee in the state by far is the college football coach. And now you're starting bringing taxpayers' dollars to do things like this. Or do you get the sense that colleges are even worried that the public is just going to get fed up with this?
I do not get the impression that university administrators care too much at this point. Because the idea of a school directly asking for a taxpayer appropriation to pay for either cost of attendance or like an athletics thing, that's relatively unusual. Indirectly, sure, there's probably more connections. But what's happening here in Utah State, what's happening at Wyoming, which is doing something similar, doesn't happen very often. But most major public universities give a student fee. So even if you don't go to a single football game and you're, you know, some foreign exchange student or you're not involved at all, you still will pay hundreds of dollars extra in tuition to pay for it. And that's a bad deal for most students. And yet there hasn't really been like an organized, coordinated opposition to this. We've written about this recently on SB Nation as well, just talking about with Cincinnati and some of these schools that are serving lower income commuter-based populations that are, you know, spending enormous amounts of money on football that's not going to really help anybody, and there hasn't really been a pushback. So I don't think anybody's worried about that. I did talk to some state senators in other states that on paper you think might want to do this, and nobody would say that they're even considering it. So maybe politicians are more nervous, but within the university administrators themselves, I don't think they have a reason to be yet.
Are you buying or selling the rhetoric that if Utah State football can't get this cost of attendance, that their economy might dry up and they're not going to be able to be competitive in football?
I think it's completely ridiculous, and I'll tell you why. and this is not me because I don't like Utah State or anything. I say the same thing if a guy in Bowling Green or a guy at Towson or a guy somewhere else was saying. First, you'll notice that the only people right now that are really up in arms about cost of attendance are university administrators, people who are follow the recruiting very closely, people who are recruiting analysts, guys who are regularly interviewing athletes. For football and basketball, they're not talking about this very much because it isn't that big of a deal. If you are a football player and you have an offer at Utah State and you have an offer at, like, Arizona, and Utah State's going to give you $800 or $1,000 or $1,500 more for COA, you're probably
annually.
Not going to
go talking
to
about
Utah
annually.
State. Annually, yeah. You're still probably not going to go to that smaller thing because the advantages for the bigger program outweigh all of those things. I also think that it's highly likely that within the next maybe 2 years that we're going to have a standardized flat award that's going to everything here because every school is just making it up. And there's some university implications to playing with that number that hurts your U.S. News and Report score. And so I think that they're just going to – everyone gets $3,000 and that's it regardless of where you are. So there's not really a big advantage for going more to this. And then, like, the argument in general, whether it's Utah State, whether it's the Utah Jazz, whether it's the New York Yankees, whenever a sports team is trying to sell the public paying more for anything in the name of economic development around there, you should be extremely skeptical because there's a ton of studies. I cited a couple of them in the article that I wrote that show that it just doesn't work out that way. And if it doesn't work out that way for a gigantic, huge professional team that's getting 41 home games a year and bringing 17,000 people to an arena, it's definitely not going to work for a stadium that seats 25,000. And, even if Utah State's bad, it's still going to bring 18,000 people there. And that's only six times a year. Like, the math, like, literally doesn't add up. You can't get enough people to Logan. And even if Utah State's awesome, a stadium can only seat so many people, and there's only so many games. And at not a very expensive ticket, for people who aren't coming in and spending a bunch of money on beer, like, there's just not that much money available.
Is the state of Utah and Utah State, are they pioneers in this? Is there anything like this that's in doing your research that's happened anywhere else in the country?
So from what we've been able to tell, and, I can't speak conclusively over all 128 teams, but we did talk to a lot of schools and a lot of politicians. The only other program right now that has requested a specific state appropriation to pay for cost of attendance is Wyoming. A Wyoming situation is a little bit different. That's the only athletic program in the entire state. The law is set up a little bit differently because the state only releases that money if the university, like a booster club, is able to raise some more. So it's a matching fund for private donations rather than just a straight-up appropriation. And it's also only released if the state budget itself meets certain benchmarks. So if they run out of money for schools, they're not going to go give it to the Wyoming basketball players. The way that it's set up for Utah is unique right now. And we talked to people at Hawaii. We talked to people at Idaho. We reached out to folks in New Mexico and Nevada, some of these other states here in the Mountain West. And right now, no one else is doing it.
Do you see this opening up a wormhole that people could be looking at this in kind of just as an experiment in other states and saying, well, if this works, maybe we'll try and do something like this? Or do you think other people are looking at it is something that's absolutely ridiculous and they can't believe that it actually went through?
In my previous life here, when I was much more heavily involved in politics than I was sports, I think I found that there's a whole lot of things that are dumber than this that get passed and get government money spent on. In the grand scheme of things, even for a smaller state like Utah, $1.5 million isn't, it feels weird to say this out loud, right? But it's like not that much money. So I would be a little bit surprised if a big slew of states tried to do something like this, specifically for cost of attendance. If you were looking at a way of writing a check to help a college football program, it happened a couple of days ago in Birmingham with the Birmingham City Council saying they would cut a check to bring back UAB football. And depending on the situation, there may be a couple of ways where that might even make sense. So I would be surprised to see situations that are very similar to what we have in Utah right now, whether because of an outcry or not having the right person who's really super invested in that. But in terms of using state money directly for college sports, that could happen and that may continue to happen over the next couple of years.
Matt Brown from SB Nation on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. There's a charity boxing match tomorrow. Mitt Romney, Evander Holyfield will be there, but also Jan Jorgensen's going to be there. Who would you pick? Who would you put money down on? Jan Jorgensen or Evander Holyfield? Mind you, I mean, Jan is an MMA master. Evander's just a boxer. I've seen the
Evander's
boxers.
He's got to be pushing 60,
but that's
right?
What I'm saying. That'll give you an advantage, but who would you put money down on?
Well, so Evander, he's pretty light around the head, right? He's only got half the ear, so he's losing all of that, like the extra weight that's going to drag him down. So he could probably bob the weed pretty quick, right?
That's true.
I'm sure his head is just tilted all the time because it's like off balance.
Oh, yeah, that's also true. I wouldn't thought about that. It could mess up this whole balance. Might be able
yeah,
to
exactly.
just kind of push him over.
He doesn't want to offend you.
He doesn't want to say it.
He doesn't want to say it.
If Mitt can tire Evander out first, then I like your chances.
You think Mitt is going to tire out? I don't think there's anything Mitt could do to tire out Evander Holyfield.
Is Mitt going to have his shirt off, dude? Because I think this is going to be very awkward if Mitt goes out there in trunks and boxing boots or whatever, boxing shoes with his shirt off. This is not going to be awkward. Is he gonna wear a long sleeve shirt?
I'll take pictures.
Dad bods are in right now. Haven't you seen everyone's talking about the dad bods? So Mitt Romney is gonna come in there and he's gonna be lived in and a little bit pudgy or something and everyone's gonna be going crazy. I asked my boss if I could go to this. Like when it first came out, like please give me press credentials, please fly me out here, I want to go, and they said no. So I'm going to want to follow up with you guys to see how it goes because I think this is hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, Jan's going to go, but I think there's something secretive that's going on. You know, he got a special invite somehow. It's very difficult to get in there. So I don't know if he is going to be in the ring with Evander. It's a possibility. Maybe Mitt Romney goes in tag teams. Jan gets in there. I mean, I hate to start rumors, but I think this is a highly plausible situation.
Oh sure, I mean it's the boxing is kind of corrupt. You know, wouldn't surprise me if you get in there and suddenly, Harry Reid comes in and Harry Reid boxing team is the fight. He throws everything. Comes out and broadsides Mitt Romney with the chair, and who knows what's gonna happen.
I want to see Mitt versus Hillary. That's what I want to see.
I'd like to see Mitt versus Huntsman. The two Mormon powers.
He's pretty spry. I feel like he could do okay, right?
I don't know, man.
Younger than Mitt.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Hillary versus Condoleezza. I'd like to see that one, too. Yeah, what political matchup would you like to see in the ring? Let's talk about that for a moment. We're going off on tangents.
This is deteriorated.
We might as well get off of sports completely and talk about political matchups in the ring.
You get me talking about politics, I'm definitely going to endear myself here to the people of Utah. I won't get called back pretty quickly.
I'm just asking you who you'd like to see in the ring, in a political ring, with boxing gloves. Who would you like to see?
I would kind of like to see someone box Newt Gingrich. I feel like he would get
just because he looks like Butterbean.
He looks a little bit like Butterbean, and I feel like someone could just like bob his ears a little bit, and he'd get all befuddled, and then you could kind of get in there right in the chest. I don't think he'd be very good, but I think it'd be high comedy.
How about Newt Gingrich versus Rush Limbaugh?
Oh, that would be
I think
solid.
That's a great matchup.
Yeah.
God, I mean, that'd take like 60 rounds. we can't watch that much TV. Like as fun as it would be to see them both kind of hit, it'd be a pillow fight.
It'd be fun for about 15 seconds, and they'd get tired.
We've digressed so much. We'll finish up the interview with a sports question regarding BYU. Okay. Off-season, we look at these top 25 charts. You know, Dennis Dodd came out with his top 25. BYU, Utah are just outside of there. That got some votes. I don't know how they gauge that. But also, SI post-spring power rankings, BYU at number 23. Look, it's something to talk about. But tell me what you think about this BYU squad after spring ball. Do you think this offense will be able to compete with the best offenses in the country? And how optimistic are you about BYU's chances to make a solid run in college football this next year?
A solid run? I think that the big news is that after spring, it seems like everyone is healthy. or progressing towards being healthy for the start of the season, and that's really the best news that you're going to get. I'm probably a little bit more skeptical than I think some BYU fans about their chances of you know winning more than 9 games and making a big run. There's some nice depth at wide receiver. If Hill is healthy for the whole season, which, you know, knock on wood, that gives you a puncher's chance in every single game that you have. But I'm still a little bit, you know, kind of wait and see mode about that secondary, about their depth on the offensive line, about whether their, you know, Williams can stay healthy, whether all their skill positions could stay healthy, if Nick Kurtz can stay healthy, especially to that absolutely brutal first month. You know, if it's week 3 and they're 2-1 and no one's got hurt yet, you know, maybe I'll be singing a different tune. But I would be a little bit surprised if they finished the season in the top 5.
Matt, anything you're working on that you can tease us?
I just started a reporting for a long story today, and it's literally about, I think, the single nerdiest sport you could think of. Like, when I tell you what I'm working on right now, you're going to laugh.
Oh, man.
And what would be, like, the nerdiest, dorkiest sporting event?
Political boxing.
No, hold on. Political boxing. I'd say World of Warcraft. I'd say online gaming.
Ooh.
Because that was on ESPN2 just a couple weekends ago.
It was. Last year, I asked for a credential for that, too, because they had an event in Columbus. But it's not that. I'm doing some research right now on Quidditch, which is, I swear, a real thing. Like from Harry Potter. Like dudes with, like, brooms between their legs running around with dodgeball.
Okay, I've got a question. I have a legit question for you. When they play Quidditch, is there really a seeker in this, like, nerddom game of Quidditch? Do they have a seeker?
It's a person, and the person dresses it like an old gold, and I haven't been to a live match yet. Like, I just sprints around, and you have to chase him.
What are the rules of galloping with the broom in between your legs? Like, what? It can't come outside of your legs, right? You can't put it to the sides. It's got to stay in between your legs the entire time.
That's my understanding.
Wow,
this is
impressive. And what's interesting, and the reason that I'm writing about this is apparently there's like a World Cup. Like, lots of colleges have teams, and they're trying to recruit, like, athletes who have not read Harry Potter. So people who are, like, Division II basketball players, you know, like 6'3" people who can, like, run, you know, 4.9 40s, and giving them broomsticks.
Who else runs with a stick? Let's go after the lacrosse players.
I can only imagine how the combine for this would work.
Oh, listen, I have just as many questions as you do. It's probably going to take, you know, don't expect this to drop in a month, because I have a lot of, you know, serious professional journalism stuff here to do. But that's my off-season project, is to learn as much as I can and watch some high-level Quidditch being played out here on the East Coast.
I hope J.K., the creator of Harry Potter, gets some sort of benefit from this, gets money from this, anything with, like, Harry Potter in it, if it takes the Quidditch name, that she's getting some royalties off of this, because this is awesome.
You know, I'm gonna go out on a limb here, and I could be wrong, because, again, early in the investigative process, I'm going out on a limb. This is probably not a big money operation. You know, maybe there's an ESPNU deal in the works for, like, the World Cup, and I don't know about it, and there's lots of money. I don't know, but that's just my hypothesis.
All right.
Not big bucks to be drawn here.
I love it. Matt Brown, as always, very entertaining. Thank you for talking about Saved by the Bell, as well as political boxing and Quidditch. This is ridiculous. Thanks. This is the off season.